Fubu Metica. Thank you, Pastor. It's a privilege again to be here and to get acquainted with the new folk and tell the old folks what God is doing through their faithful prayers and support. And we just want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for standing behind us while we are here in the States and going out and reaching others for Jesus Christ and get their eyes open to missions. Amen. Amen. There's a great need out there that people should pay attention to, that church will grow fast and very strong in missions. But we're finding, Sandy and I are finding that the churches they don't have any real excitement in missions, and we come to get you excited. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. And I'm going to take you to Africa in about a few minutes. I don't know how much time we have there, but we'll take you to Africa. I promise to bring you back, and you'll be blessed. I'll tell you, it's God. God has been good. I thank God for this church and for what it stands for, and for you people that stand behind Jim and Sandy all these years. My kids grew up here. In fact, they had their own bassinets in there, and we taught Sunday school in this church, and then we decided to springboard to Bible school, and then from South Carolina we went to France, and then from France we went down to Africa, and God has been good to us in Africa. We went 300 miles in the bush country of Africa into a village of about 5,000 people, and they were different type of people, but we managed to live among them, and God blessed. And so that's our thrill of a lifetime for that. I just thank God for that.
That's a great encouragement. Back there on the table, there's a display, and in that display, you'll see some of those folks that Jim and Sandy worked with, and plus some missionaries that have replaced them, and the work continues. And that must be a great encouragement for you to see that happening. Is there anything that's a challenge? What's a challenge for you these days, Jim?
Well, the challenges in the churches today is to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light in missions. The mission is missionaries and mission work for a church. And I'm finding that many times people they don't recognize their own missionaries. And boy, I come in here, man, people just come to us, shake our hand, and they know us. How many of you know us? Look at there, Sandy. I know you. But it's wonderful. But we have been in missions for about 50 years now. And our job is that we have picked out was to go and get people stirred up for missions. Because your church will not grow, your church will not go forward if you don't have an excitement for missions. Because missions is what this word tells us about. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what it says. Amen.
Amen.
And we have done it.
So I have a funny feeling if I ask you for some prayer requests, I think I'll know what your prayer request is, that the Lord would open up the eyes of the churches.
Amen.
to the Word of God as He and have it be proclaimed around this world. Is
Amen.
That right? Jim, is there anything in particular that we can pray for you and Sandy about?
Our health, and we get up and go, but it's very slow now. We always look behind us. We think we have an anchor behind us, you know, but we managed to get around. And we're still on the road. We don't go by age, we go by mileage. And God has been good. And we want you to pray for our health. And we're in good health right now. Until I see the doctor again. But it's wonderful to realize that we got a mission field right here. And as long as we keep telling people about Jesus, we'll be healthy. Amen. I mean, God will give us the encouragement we need and the health we need. So,
amen. Let me pray with you right now, Jim. Lord, I thank you for Jim and Sandy and for their heart for you, Lord, and for their heart for the lost around this world. And God, they want to continue to serve you as long as they can. And we thank you for the grace that you give to allow that to happen. I pray that they'd receive that grace by faith. And Lord, we just thank you for them being with us today. I pray that we might be an encouragement to them as they are an encouragement to us. And I pray, Lord, as Jim and Sandy continue on in their speaking engagements, Lord, that you give them strength. And Lord, we pray particularly for their health. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus is right there, that his presence is what we need. And I pray, God, that they would continue to find Christ sufficient in their life, not only spiritually, but also physically. And Lord, that you would just anoint them with that special ability that you give to your children to accomplish your good work. We thank you for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jim. So after worship, you can go ahead. After worship, we'll watch a DVD, and plus Jim and Sandy and their granddaughter will be staying with us for potluck, and please fellowship with them and talk with them and get to know them if you don't know them, or make a reacquaintance if you do know them. So thank you guys. Thank you for being here, and check out their missionary table right there on the back as well. At this time, why don't you all just stand up and greet one another in the name of the Lord this morning.
Just wanted to say hello and reintroduce myself to you. I haven't seen you or talked with you for a few weeks, and just wanted to thank the Brocks for coming this morning. Unfortunately, it fell on a day where we were doing our family business meeting as well. Usually we'd have two different times where we could meet so that Jim could speak a little longer. But I saw it fitting this morning for me to do the speaking. And I think you'll understand why in just a second. Somebody said that they needed proof to where I was last weekend. So this is the area that we went to. We had about 11 guys go to the men's retreat at Lakeside Bible Camp. And we had a great time. I really felt like the Lord was working, and it was a privilege to be able to be there. This is what I talked about. Yes, I broke down our talks into the acronym RUSH. And the whole imagery that I wanted to give for this weekend was a running back, an NFL running back, receiving the football and understanding the game well enough that he is able to run the ball the way he's supposed to. And as you see in the acronym, session one was all about, first of all, you have to receive the fullness of Christ. Talking about the Holy Spirit is the one who generates. Session two, understand the fullness of Christ. You got to, realizing that the Holy Spirit unites. You got to understand the playbook. Like Jim was talking about earlier today, you got to know what the Word of God has to say. If you don't know what the mission is, then you're not going to be a missionary. A missionary is one who fulfills the mission. So in that sense, we're all missionaries as Christians. There is no alliance. There is Christian, and there all Christians are missionaries. And then there's session three, speak the fullness of Christ. this Holy Spirit speaks, and then session four was about humility, the fullness of Christ's example, the Holy Spirit leads, and then session five was all about the touchdown, and we didn't really get there, but we got to touch on it. As a matter of fact, I said that if you could guess what the T and the D stand for, what is a touchdown for a Christian? What does it mean for us to get into the end zone? What does it mean for us to score? You know, and I'm talking about God's perspective here. I'm not talking about what the world would see as scoring. I'm more interested in what God views as. What is a point? What is 6 points on the board? What does success in His eyes look like? And so these talks basically boil down to, here's some pictures for you to see. First one is all about receiving the ball. First, you got to receive Christ. If you don't have Christ, then you're not going to score at all. You don't score touchdowns. You're not even on God's team. And we talked about how ridiculous it looks for our team to go against God's team. And trust me, you want to be on God's team, because His team will crush and annihilate and totally destroy any team that a human could possibly develop here on earth. So you need to be regenerated. You need to be born again. You need to receive His Spirit. And the next one was all about understanding the playbook. Once you've received the ball, you got to understand what the playbook is. You need to understand the pattern that you need to run. You need to understand the hole that you have to hit. You have to understand where your blockers are going to be. And you need to understand what trajectory you need to be running the ball and what speed and so on and so forth. We understood that the NFL players memorize hundreds and hundreds of pages of all sorts of routes and plays that they need to be able to remember at any given time that the coach says, we're running this one, and you need to know it. And how much so does that we need to understand the Word of God, truly to understand the fullness of Christ's love, that He wants us to be united in spirit. He wants us to be to join together as one body, to have equippers who are encouraging and building up the body for the work of service. But it's all meant to carry out the mission, which is to make Christ known in this world, to see Christ's name exalted in any town, any place, any country, throughout the whole world. And we shouldn't be satisfied until Christ's name is exalted over this whole planet, because that is what heaven is all about, is having Christ's name exalted. And then we talked about session three, running the ball. What has been entrusted to us? What is the element that is needed for the body of Christ to be built up so that we can now carry out the mission? And it's all about speaking truth and love. God has actually entrusted something to Adam when he was in the garden, and that was to guard the garden and to keep the garden. And at that point, all Adam knew was reality. God is here. I am here. When God speaks, you listen. When God speaks, you obey. You humble yourself. You fear God. You love God. And then the evil one comes upon the scene, and he says, hey, you know what? This could happen. All you have to do is eat the fruit, and basically you can be your own God. And so Adam and Eve ended up eating the fruit, and now anybody who's born in this world is born in this state of illusion. And when we come to Christ and we receive God's fullness and we understand the playbook, we realize that reality is here. Remember, Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Him. And truth means reality. So Jesus is saying, I am the reality. To fall short of believing in me is to believe in insanity. This is not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to humble ourselves and to keep ourselves there. And we talked about that even in the Christian life, we're constantly trying to do this. But what is needed to keep us in this position is session four, which is all about protecting the ball. When you think about an NFL player and protecting the ball, he's always covering it. He's got a pattern to run, but he's holding on to the ball in such a way that it won't be stripped from him. And in the same way, when a person goes from here to here and he has submitted himself to the lordship of Christ, the one thing that can strip that ball away is pride, where you end up being useless in the master's hand. You end up fumbling the ball. And the ball is all about the faith that we've received. Faith in the gospel. If a Christian has his humility stripped away, he's useless to the master, the coach. And instead of getting touchdowns, he will fumble the ball, giving it up to the other team. Running backs aren't called to fumble the ball, they're called to make touchdowns. And touchdowns, the word TD, ultimately stood for total dependency. When you align yourself under Christ and you learn not to do things in your own strength, in your own power, but instead you trust in Christ and you realize that when you're weak, then He is strong. When you begin to be thankful and in every situation that you're in, when you begin to really believe that He is sovereign over every situation in your life, and you keep yourself humble, gentle, not resisting Him, not disputing with Him, but instead humbly walking in the yoke that Christ tells you to walk in, God can use you in amazing ways. Eternal ramifications, what we're talking about. Touchdown is all about total dependency on Christ. It's being lifted up in a sense, carried across. It's God filling you, controlling you, and using you the way He wants to, rather than you limiting how God's going to use you. You know what I mean? There's two different ways that you can live in this life, Christian, and that is that you can allow the Holy Spirit to use you in any way that He wants. And you know that the Holy Spirit works in this way. Get outside of that comfort zone. Yeah, I told you to do that, and yes, I know you can't do that. That's how the Holy Spirit works. It's never working within the confines of what we can do in the flesh. It's always beyond. It's always something that is eternal, something that God can do in your life. Because in the end, He wants to get the glory. He doesn't want you to get the glory. He made you to depend on Him, to humble yourself and to be used by Him to accomplish His purposes. Here's another picture of touchdown. And Jim and Sandy, when I think about a modern example of someone who I can follow after, someone who has rushed for multiple touchdowns, I oftentimes think about you guys. I don't know if it's because you're homegrown. I don't know if it's because you're from Granite Falls and knowing about the things that you gave up for this to happen. But there's something about your guys' lives that make me want to run hard in the same pattern that you guys have run. So when I think about you guys, I think about once you received that ball of faith in the gospel, you immediately began memorizing the playbook. You began to see your part in the body of Christ, and like you said this morning, you began to teach Sunday school, and you continued to build into the lives of others. You knew that the gospel wasn't just for you, it was for other people to hear the gospel, so that they would go and tell other people the gospel. That's the way it's always been. Multiplication. And you started off understanding that in the Word of God, and God used you in amazing ways. You began to understand exactly what God had called His children to do. But then you did what many often fail to do. You received the gospel by faith. You began to understand what the Word of God was all about. But you took it a step further. You ran with the ball. You began to speak the truth in love. And not only were you willing to do that in Africa, you started here. And that's the whole point. When somebody says, I want to be a missionary someday on the mission field in Africa or whatever, Zimbabwe, Europe, China, I ask them, are you being a missionary now? Do you love your neighbors now? Do you reach out to your neighbors now? Sometimes we have this romantic idea in our mind that once I get there, then I'm just going to be on fire. It's like, if you're not going to be faithful in the little things, how dare you think you're going to be faithful in much? God doesn't see that. He's waiting for you to be faithful in the little things. I talk to guys who want to be in ministry and they don't take the time to minister to their family at home. They're not faithful in the little things, but they want that ministry so that they can get the pat on the backs and the respect that they long to get that they're not getting from their family. And we can get things backwards sometimes. But you guys were willing to be faithful in Granite Falls, and you're willing to do it on the other side of the world. You were willing to sacrifice security for suffering. Security. They didn't talk about it today, and for those of you who don't know Jim and Sandy, they had one of the most beautiful properties around Granite Falls. Wonderful ranch with acreage, cattle, animals. So of course, even a godly man is going to say, are you sure? Are you sure you're calling me to Africa? And of course, Jim tells his story better than I do. But I think it was the next day where all of the animals, all of the livestock were dead stock. God had totally answered his prayer. It's almost like the things of this world need to die out of your life so that I can magnify myself in you. You need to be willing to let go of the things that you've dreamed about having all your life so that I can do eternal things through you. Let go of the temporary. And that's a challenge to all of us. Where we find ourselves entrenched in this world and constantly pounding in our tent pegs, you know? And God is always trying to uproot us. And sometimes we just don't like it. You are willing to sacrifice, compromise for commitment, and tiddling for toil. I know that it cost you guys. I think that's why Jesus says, count the cost, you know? Because for Him to have lordship in our life means that we give Him the reins. It means He really does become our shepherd, and He really does make us lie down in green pastures. He really does lead us beside the still waters so He can restore our soul. And we let Him, because He's the good shepherd. But you also allowed God to humble you so that He could demonstrate to all of us and to the world that when we're weak, He's strong. Your lives model for us just how much God can accomplish through willing vessels, even from Granite Falls, who are totally dependent on His Spirit and His power. And we are eternally grateful for that. When I think about your life as a picture, I'm sure that if I looked longer, I would have found a better picture. But this is the one I found. And see, there's you and Sandy heading off in the wind, the blowing of the Holy Spirit. And it's like you're not concerned about holding back on the flower, digging in your roots a little bit more, but instead the seed that is willing to say, "I'm yours, Lord," and He just takes you where He wants to take you, and He plants you in a place of fertile soil so that your light would multiply. I found some pictures on the internet. Here's Jim Jr. and Dan. I don't know who this guy is. Of course, that's Jim. These pictures that I'm going to show you guys, they're not going to tell you that they left this farm to go to, it was Moody, right? Moody Bible?
Bob Jones, sorry.
Bob Jones. To study different languages, to study the area that they were going to be called to, but they also had, they were about to have 4 children, right? Or did you have 4? Yikes. The animals die, the kids survive, so they take what's left and they fly to Bob Jones University. God definitely had a call on their lives. Jim only tested God one more time. And after God burned down the garage he was working in, making money in, they had their minds made up. God has definitely called us out onto the mission field, and it's Africa, with 4 children. So we're going to Africa, and they had their minds made up. Now, these photos are taken from www.brockministries.com/gallery/Africa. And on there, you'll find this picture of... we just saw Jim Jr. and Danny, and well, here they are at a younger stage. I don't know who this guy is in the middle. Do you know who that is? It was a short-term missionary? Oh, okay, very good. So they're beginning to think about this, guys. Think about Granite Falls, and now they're in Africa. Totally foreign place. Talk about culture shock. And not only is it culture shock, you're going to live in the culture shock. So get used to it. With all your children. Here's Sandy. I don't know when this was taken, but obviously beginning to get familiar with her surroundings. And of course, when you think about Africa, you think about dangerous animals. You know, that's why many of us don't go there. But the Brocks didn't find any such animals, only tame elephants and only tame poisonous snakes and only tame scorpions. And On the website, Dan writes down, can you see them? And you see the lions that are roaming around. But they weren't there to play with the animals. It's great to hear stories from them about how God protected them and how God continued to provide for them miraculously. They went to love the people. Here's a few shots of just faces that they knew, faces that they loved, families, communities, individual children. You also have neighbors and individuals, and they met them on their turf. This is where I think that we get off sometimes as Christian missionaries, is that we say, hey, we got a church here and we built it and we got some nice things here. Why don't you come on over on our turf and we're going to show you how great church can be. And when in reality, God says, no, don't you realize that the church is not the building? The church is the people. Remember, church is from the Greek word eklego, which means out from, to pull out from and to assemble, which means God has taken us out of darkness and he has placed us into his marvelous light. So we are the called out ones to be sent forth with a message, to be a light in this world. The only reason why we assemble on Sunday mornings is for encouragement, to build one another up so that when this is over, we go out charged to continue the ministry that God has called each one of us to. That's exactly what the body of Christ is supposed to do. And we meet the lost on their turf. We actually care about what's going on in their lives. We actually ask questions. People that you work with, that is the perfect context to talk to them about Christ. I just encourage you to remember who you are. You're a running back. And running backs were meant to run for the touchdown. For total dependency on the Holy Spirit, to rip away from the flesh so that we would not limit God in any way, but to accomplish the eternal that he desires to do through us. They saw people, they spent time with them in their normal daily household duties. Here's a picture of a fishing competition, I guess, that was going on back then. I don't know how well they did. I don't see many poles in the water. They didn't use poles, did they? They what? Like this? They just grab them. See? We got it all wrong, guys. That's how you catch fish. You just grab them. Another thing that he didn't mention this morning was that upon his arrival, so that you don't understand that this is some fairy tale, can you imagine this man obeying God, running the ball, saying, come on, family, we're going. He takes that risk to trust God, finally gets upon the scene, begins to set up in the area that he is going to be ministering in, can't wait to begin to start talking to people about Christ, and then the chief comes upon the scene and says, you aren't talking to anybody for 5 years. We want to see that your life is real, that you are the genuine thing. You're not coming into my village and talking to people if I think that you're some charlatan. So they have to endure 5 years, trusting that in 5 years, after winning the heart of the chief of that village, that God was going to give them a platform to be able to minister to those people. So what do? They trust God in it. They continue to remain here, not puffed up pride, not saying, well, God must have had this all wrong. I can't believe that we have to spend five. instead, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do now? Well, there's a river, and there's tribes down the river. Go minister to them. So that's exactly what they did. It's a beautiful thing. It's like God is saying, I want to do things a little bit backwards here. You know, when the church started, we started in Jerusalem, then in Judea, and then Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. What I want you to do is start in Samaria this time. I want you to do the outskirt areas, and then you can come back to Jerusalem. So that people don't understand, or won't see it, that there's a pattern that we have to stay with. Sometimes God is always trying to shake things up so that we'll listen to His voice. After the 5 years were up, God began to continue to bless their ministry. Here's a picture of Sandy holding a beautiful baby in her arms. After a while, is this in Benin right here? Dan states, here's Dad and his co-laborers. God is beginning to raise up men and women to partner with Jim and Sandy and their family to begin to start. I mean, the church is beginning to form. You know what I mean? God is calling out people from the darkness, and light is beginning to dawn in a new way. And it's beautiful. I like this picture because Dan states, that's just mom sharing. Mom's sharing again. She's out there talking to some guy about the gospel. Another favorite picture, Dan writes, Dad baptizing a new convert. Is this the one where the anaconda was hanging over the tree branch and looking down? reason I'm bringing these up as teasers so that you have something of kind of a conversation that you can have with him later. He's got tons of stories to tell. But eventually they were able to start the very first Bible school in Benin. Soon it was filled. And the rest is history. God continued to add. Not only that, but there were those who not only came to Christ and received the football also, but they began to get teaching and to understand what the will of God was. And there was actually some who were saying, I want to carry the ball too, coach. Oh, wait, just a second. I'm not the coach. He's the coach. I'm the co-coach, and I'm helping you right now. And I want you to run the ball also, because I want you to go for a touchdown. I don't want you to do it in your own strength. I don't want you to do it in your own power. I don't want to use you to use your own words. I want you to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. And he says that when you get to that point, don't worry about what you're going to say, but he will give you the words at that time, because it's him who's working in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the God we serve. This is the game that we've been called to play in. And they made disciples who would go and make disciples. The two pictures and captions that strike me most are the pictures that show a model in which I want to follow after. And you probably know what those two pictures are. Can you imagine this coming from your kids' mouths? Maybe a snapshot that they got of you, or just something that's an image in their mind where mom is sharing and dad is baptizing. And it's like they're actually running with the ball. They're continually humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God, and God is using them in amazing ways. No wonder these children would start following in pursuit. Well, I want some of that. Don't settle for the whole Granite Falls lifestyle that we have nothing to offer to this world. If you've got Christ, you have the riches of the kingdom of heaven. and the power of God within you. The fullness of Christ dwells within each one of us. And the only thing that can limit him in our life is when we don't remain here. It's when we start saying, I don't know if it's worth it. Remember, Jesus kept saying things like this. Are you greater than your master? If they hated me, they'll hate you. You need to speak the truth in love. Yeah, but when I speak the truth, reality, into a world that believes in insanity, sometimes I get some backlash. Well, you're not greater than your master, right? Or we start to compromise and we start to take the road of comfort and ease, and then pretty soon we're starting to operate off of pride, and then we get offended with one another, and when that's what it's all about is, well, he did this and she did that. And pretty soon we're on the sidelines. Man, we're not even on the sidelines. We're now in the crowd, holding on to our ball. And we're the running back. We're the star in this game. There's something that each one of us, where God has called us to this specific purpose. And you'll know it if you understand the playbook. You'll know it if you understand the coach. You'll know it when you understand his desires and how he thinks. And you'll never be the same again. In a nutshell, Jim and Sandy received the ball. They understood the playbook. They ran the ball, speaking truth and love and protecting the ball by remaining humble and totally dependent on God's Spirit so God could accomplish through them what he desired. And now their legacy lives on. Or should I say, the legacy of Christ. Passed down to Dan, who is now back in Africa on the mission field. Here's his fiancée, Susan. Picture of Jim and Sandy later on. I love this picture. You know, this picture symbolizes for me your life in a nutshell. You see it there? You are a fisher of men, and you taught others to be the same. And you got two guys right now in this picture, ladies, in this picture, who have learned the things that you've taught them, and now they're going and doing the same. Jim and Sandy, your life challenges our lives and forces us to contemplate, what am I fishing for? What am I catching? Is it for the temporal and the fleeting, or eternal and everlasting? Am I living the way God wants me to live? Am I doing what he has called me to do? Do I make much of Jesus, or do I simply make much of me? What have I given up? What have I forsook? What have I denied or sacrificed for God? What will people say about me in my final season of life? Will I be zealously seeking after God's kingdom and righteousness and going around to churches and brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, and continually encouraging, keep running with the ball? Keep fulfilling the mission that Christ has called us to complete. Notice what Paul tells Timothy in his final season of life. In his final season of life, Timothy, Paul says this: I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. It's like, can Paul pull out any more authority than he already has? Look what he pulls out here.
in the presence of God and of Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. He's right at the door, and his kingdom is coming, and with this whole force, I say to you now, that's what he's doing here. What does he say? Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, reality, and they will turn it away to myths. Things that are illusions. Things that aren't real. The insanity. And that's the world we live in. Even the church is turning in many ways to that which Christ has not called us to. He says, Timothy, you keep preaching, and it's not going to be popular. And then he says this in his final closing, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Can you see the imagery of the running back? Fighting and keeping the faith, finishing towards the goal, touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, remaining in the game, getting hit around, getting continually worn out, surgeries on the knees, bruises that have to heal, scars, scratches, scrapes, but they stayed in the game. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Jim and Sandy, thank you for living a life that constantly reminds us of a life that is totally dependent on Christ. Even in these latter years, although the season has changed, God still uses you. You're not out on the front lines anymore, and you're not planting new churches. You're not in a far off distant land. Your body is not going to take that, but you're in a place of a new season in your life where you find that God is good, even in realizing that you have great limitations, and even in your physical makeup, even when you can't remember the things that you used to remember, and you feel like things are just kind of falling apart. When Christ is sufficient in that and people watch, God uses you in the eternal. You're still running with the ball because you're staying here. And that's the beauty of your guys' lives. And we appreciate you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you as your people, and I know that you've tugged on hearts. You've tugged on mine. And I know that you're here. And I pray, Father, that if there are any in this room that you are calling to run the ball now, that they would be eager to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever you want, coach, I'm there. I know for some of us it's going to take a forsaking of a lot of things where we have drove down our tent pegs deep into a world that's going to burn and be destroyed very soon. So God, help us to get our eyes off of what is the here and now, what is so tangible, and help us to see the reality of life. For things are not as they seem. God, give us an eternal perspective. Give us an understanding of your heart and your mind that would help us to long for your kingdom to come and for your will to be done in my life. May it be so. Do it for the sake of Christ, we pray. And we thank you for our brother and sister and the great encouragement that they are to us. Would you continue to be their strength and their guide, and continue to use them as you wish for the glory of your kingdom. Until we all stand before you and hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." We long to hear those words, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.